Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, providing up-to-date information on various health topics. And being Movember today, we're discussing prostate health. Insights for Health is brought to you by The Healthy Habit, now celebrating 25 years since 1991 at 451 St. Clair Street. We are Chatham's classic health supplement store in customer care, everyday low price, and quality nutritional supplements. At The Healthy Habit, we help you to help yourself with your health one step at a time. And being Movember and prostate health, joining us today is Dr. Philip Rashotis. And Dr. Philip graduated from the University of Guelph with a master's degree in nutritional science. He later graduated from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine, where he's also an associate professor. Good morning, Dr. Philip, and welcome back to Insights for Health.
Good morning, and it's always a treat to be on with you.
Yeah. So, doctor, with prostate health, so statistically, where does prostate health rank among men?
Yeah, it's a big deal, and it is the month of the year to be talking about, although I would hope it's not reserved just for November.
Right.
The number one cause of cancer death among men and women is lung. And then number two among women is breast cancer, and number two among men is prostate cancer. So it's certainly one that we need to tackle, and it's alarmingly common.
Now, we can have prostate problems, but yet not have prostate cancer, correct?
Absolutely. So we need to differentiate from prostate cancer versus what we call benign prostatic hypertrophy, or BPH.
Okay.
BPH is simply referring to the growth of the prostate as we age. It's kind of unavoidable. It will symptoms of it will occur in 50% of men by age 50 and 100% of men by age 80. And essentially, as the prostate grows, it presses on the bladder. So that gives a man a sensation of needing to go pee. The man will complain, I wake up many times at night to go pee. Similar to women through pregnancy needing to go pee a lot because the growing fetus is pressing on the bladder.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, as it grows, it crushes the urethra, which is the tube the pee goes through. So not only do you feel like you have to go pee very often, but when you try to go pee, only a few drops comes out. So that is benign prostatic hypertrophy. We used to think it was completely different from prostate cancer, but more modern research is telling us there is indeed a link between BPH and prostate cancer.
And how's that?
Well, the processes that drive the growth of the prostate, there's a lot of inflammation happening, and those can be drivers and initiators of cancerous processes. So if you are experiencing symptoms of BPH, it's appropriate once every year or two to go be tested for markers, blood markers, a simple blood test for prostate cancer.
And that's where that's a PSA test, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I mean, we've had a chat about this before.
Yeah.
And what I really want to touch on here is generally, people won't recommend measuring a PSA level. It's a simple blood test, and it does give us a pretty good indicator of risk of prostate cancer. And men won't have this tested until they're into their 50s. Maybe if there's a family history, they'll look at it in their 40s. But there's really wonderful science to tell us that the younger you measure this, the better. Because PSA has a cutoff of 4. So if your PSA level is under 4, we generally view that as your risk of prostate cancer being very low. And if your pre-PSA creeps above 4, we start being concerned and we may recommend something like a biopsy, et cetera. But what some beautiful research found is that when we test men in their 20s, if you were in your 20s and your PSA was 3, and now you're 60 and your PSA is 5, that's not necessarily a cause for concern. But if you were in your 20s and your PSA was 0.2, and now you're in your 60s and your PSA is 3, even though it's below that magic cutoff of 4, that may indeed be a cause for concern. So that first PSA test, the younger, the better, and it provides a baseline to see how that's changing throughout our life.
So you're seeing that range of difference. That's what you're looking for.
Exactly. How much did it go up by? It's not so much the absolute number,
yeah,
but how much did it increase by over time?
And then they talk about there's two forms of PSA, correct?
Right, and that's another big one here. So the PSA we've been talking about so far is called total PSA. And as it sounds, it's the total amount of PSA floating around in your blood. But there's another test called free PSA. And unfortunately, not enough of our patients are having this free PSA tested, and we end up testing it for them. So generally, simply screening for total PSA is good enough. But if total PSA starts to be elevated, it is then very important to also have a free PSA tested. And the ratio of free to total PSA is a much, much more accurate indicator of risk of prostate cancer than simply measuring PSA on its own. Why this is important is that if we are concerned that you have prostate cancer, the next steps to confirm that are quite invasive and they have some unpleasant side effects. So rather than saying, oh, PSA is a bit elevated, let's go into next steps, it's much more advantageous to say, okay, PSA is elevated, what does free PSA tell us? And now the ratio of free to total, are we now supposed to do a biopsy? Or is this actually looking like a situation that's a very low risk of prostate cancer?
So should a person be requesting from their doctor then both tests? Like, let's say the 20-something-year-old goes in and says, listen, I want to get a baseline. Does he request both of those, or is one enough?
No, I don't think that the free PSA isn't really necessary unless total PSA is elevated.
I see.
So if you're in your 20s or your 30s or your 40s and you're asking to check on your prostate, a total PSA is more than good enough. But if that number comes back above 4, if that number is elevated, then a free PSA test is very, very important to do. And sadly, I mean, some people are having it done. We see many patients coming in and that testing has already been done. But we have a lot of patients that free PSA has never been measured. And they're talking about prostate biopsies and other invasive procedures without having that very key piece of information in front of them.
All right. Now, PSA stands for?
Prostate-specific antigen. And again, it's a marker. It floats around in our body, and it relates to what's going on in the prostate. Really simple blood test to do.
So the free PSA, like you were, I think you were explaining to me that a total PSA, it's attached to certain proteins, whereas the free PSA is not attached yet. It's just floating around.
Exactly. And the amount of free PSA is generally much less than the amount of total. But again, the ratio of the two provides really, really, it's just a simple chart. If the ratio is below this number, risk of prostate cancer less than 5%. If the ratio is between this and this number, risk of prostate cancer 10%. If the ratio is between this and this number, risk of prostate cancer greater than 80%. So it's just a really accurate method of assessing what's going on.
So back to the symptoms then of BPH. It's this frequency or this urge to urinate or can't urinate, and yet you feel like you have to. Those are markers or indicators to oneself that they should be getting tested.
Absolutely. And it's always a mistake to say, I'm waking up at night to go pee, this must just be BPH. And that can be an error. At that point, it really would be important to go get this simple PSA test and make sure you're not dealing with prostate cancer, because the symptoms can overlap. So most often, a man with those symptoms will just be suffering uncomplicated BPH. But it's important at that time to go get tested and make sure it's not something more serious. Another sign that we really need to be alarmed regarding prostate cancer, and I think this awareness is so key, is if a man's experiencing a lot of pain and discomfort in the lower abdomen. Lower abdominal discomfort, will often brush it off as some sort of stomach problem or IBS. But in a man, especially in a man hitting their 50s and 60s, that can be a really important sign that it's time to go get tested for potentially the presence of prostate cancer.
So this discomfort would be between the, say, the navel and the genitals?
Sure, exactly. Okay. Lower abdominal pain, discomfort that's sort of lingering. And that can be a really, really classic sign of prostate cancer. Could be something uncomplicated, could be a little bit of IBS or constipation, but it's better to be safe than sorry, right?
Urinary tract infections?
Sure, urinary tract infection can do that as well. But so any of those symptoms is something to be concerned about. And then if you go for the testing and it's indeed just benign prostatic hypertrophy with no sign of any cancer. There are very simple, straightforward treatments that can help that. And if indeed you are told it's prostate cancer, well, then there's a whole discussion we have to enter there as well, because prostate cancer can take on many different forms.
Okay. And so how common is it?
Sorry, go right ahead.
Yeah, how common is prostate cancer?
It is. It's an extremely common cancer. But what we have to differentiate is there's various degrees of it.
Okay.
Most men, okay, you have prostate. Imagine that. It's a horrifying thing, right? You go, you visit your doctor. Okay, sir, you have prostate cancer. Wow, it's horrifying.
Yes.
And then you say, okay, now well, what do I do now? And very often the physician will tell you, well, go home. You know what? Go home. Come back. We'll follow up with you in a year or two. So many prostate cancers are very slow growing. It's often said that the individual is likely to eventually pass of something else completely unrelated to their prostate. That is the state of most prostate cancers. Yet off the top, we said it is the second leading cause of cancer death among men.
Yes.
Because if instead, it's more rare, but if it is an aggressive prostate tumor, then the outcomes are quite poor. And it often catches up with that individual. So just hearing the diagnosis of prostate cancer unto itself is not, I mean, it's going to alarm anyone that hears it, but we really now need to differentiate what type of prostate tumor we're looking at. Is it a common, slow-growing, unlikely to really impact your life in the long run type of tumor? Or is it a more aggressive tumor that immediate aggressive action needs to be taken to try to prolong life?
So the term cancer doesn't mean end of life here. It doesn't mean a terrible result.
Right. And the word cancer shouldn't mean end of life for anybody. You know, we have so many heroes. I'm sure we're all aware of people that have gone through these processes.
Yeah.
And there's always hope. But yes, especially in prostate, there's literally millions of men walking around North America who have been told they have prostate cancer. And what is occurring is a process called active surveillance. You're brought back to your urologist, that is the specialist that deals with prostate issues in men. You're brought back to your urologist once a year or once every other year for follow-up testing to ensure that that tumor is still not growing aggressively, it's still small. That is a situation where integrative medicine and natural health products can really shine, because otherwise, the man is just told, go home, do what you're doing. Meanwhile, there is a plethora of diet, lifestyle, and some basic supplements that can really, really, really help slow that tumor growth and even reverse its growth. If the setting is unfortunately one of advanced prostate cancer,
right,
that is a very hard situation to deal with. I humbly request people get a referral to an integrative doctor who is experienced in specifically that area. Advanced prostate cancer is a horrible situation, and there's certainly hope and there's certainly things that can be done, but that's going to take a skilled and experienced individual to oversee that process.
Dr. Philip, we're coming to the commercial, so I just want to summarize a couple of points and then have you comment. So for having any sort of issues with our urination, not being able to starting and stopping the dribbling, some irritation, that's probably a sign that the prostate's enlarged and that we should probably get that checked. Any lower abdominal pain, we should be proactive, get a PSA done. The younger, the better for that baseline. So in our 20s even, and lifestyle can make a big difference.
That is absolutely correct. Tick, tick, tick. Absolutely true.
Okay. After the break, Doctor, why don't we talk about some of the proactive things we can do with the enlarged prostate and with those cancers that you discussed.
Sounds excellent.
I've been talking with Doctor and Professor Philip Rashotis, and we're going to take a commercial. We'll be right back.